Namaste and welcome to the Living India podcast by Purvi Shah Paulini. On business topics and global events in connection with spirituality. Integral and sustainable change means to integrate this aspect on a deeper level as well. Because knowing people means knowing business.
Great. Welcome back and namaste to our wisdom workshop. I'm Purvi.
And I'm Julia.
Nice to see you again. And today we are going to talk in chapter 4 about goals and visions. And here I would like to start with a quote, which was said by Abdul Kalam. He is the former president of India, passed away, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. He said, when learning is purposeful, creativity blossoms. When creativity blossoms, thinking emanates. When thinking emanates, knowledge is fully lit. When knowledge is fully lit, economy flourishes. And I think this is a wonderful introduction to our today's chapter 4 about goals and visions, because me as an organizational developer, which I'm also doing since 4 or 5 years now in this project called One World, No Hunger, of course, we have to talk about economics. And but if you merge the inner purpose with that, what you would like to achieve, I think the quality might be totally different to that if you go ahead with the conventional way of thinking what you would like to achieve as a company or as an individual. That's my personal thinking. I don't know what you think about that.
I wanted to talk about my son today, but now comes something else, which also comes from my son. But this was in a different discussion, and I just think about it now because he says, Mommy, when the deer comes to the hunter and says, hey, hunter, I'm here and you can now shoot me, the hunter has no fun in shooting it anymore. If we follow no purpose in the things we want to achieve, we don't need to learn things. We don't need to gain knowledge. We don't need to bring forth our ideas. We don't need to develop, because development is just doing nothing and waiting for the deer to come to the hunter. So what then can the hunter do with a deer but not hunt it? Is there a hunter? Is there a deer? And can they play cards together? So these are the questions my son asks me. I don't know why this comes now after this quote, but it comes.
So if we talk about purpose, I think there are, depending on the developmental level of, and without saying that one level is better than the other, because we all are there where we are. And it's very interesting to see that we all are blessed with a brain, but everyone thinks so differently. So even the meaning of purpose is on different levels, totally different. If I'm not wrong, your son is 14 years old. And when I look back, when I was 14 years old, I never thought about that, because I was living in my world where I was happy with my Indian background and my Indian upbringing. I thought I don't have to worry about anything. Yeah. And I find it on one hand very interesting and very mature to ask such question in the age of 14. But on the other hand, the way or the content, what is being asked by saying, if the deer is already there, the hunter has no fun. That's what I understood by killing the deer, is the question, what thrives you at the end to either take the deer as it's already there, or just to take the deer and say, I'm not going to kill you because we are one, or to say, there is no fun. I'll just go away and try to find another deer where I have my kick and get that what I want by not having it directly in front of me. So I think these are three different levels of thinking. And I think there is also, it is very much dependent on the value system you live in. And I think with 14, I've had a different value system than I have today, hopefully, yes. And I also think that the value system of a 14-year-old boy of today, who is, I think, totally is growing up in a total different world than I did with 14, will also emerge and change in the next years. And it is going to be very interesting to see How and in which way?
So my son is 15 and it is very interesting coming to back to this deer or even back to goals and visions. So lately we had another discussion because I told him about the Gaia salary and about what we, you and me, have discussed before. And he was not very amused of what I call Gaia salary. And this happened because I was not very amused about his father wanting to buy a really, really expensive car and showing off with this to everybody else. So my son said things like, "Mama, if there's no goal in life, why are we here then? And if we have no purpose, what purpose does all this have? If it is like this, why do we live then?" He said, "I'm very unrealistic." And he said, "We need rewards. We need status symbols, which we can show. Papa," so his father, he says, "has worked diligently in order to be able to achieve this car, to buy this car. And it is very important to be seen as someone who is smart, who is diligent, who is wealthy. This is what my son," and then we are again in this value systems, "lives for." So, and then he says, "Mommy, everybody has goals. Even your goal," which you say, "trusting in the process, Gaia salary, is a goal." So that's very interesting because I think he would tell me, you know, "You're completely unrealistic," if he's mean. And I would tell him he is very short-sighted, right? Because coming to goals and visions, goals are something which is more tangible to us, which is something which is for us individually, which we can closer understand. Visions are further away from us. They are intangible. And this comes maybe with more life experience, maybe with more wisdom, with less ego. And goals have rather an ego behind it, something like maybe the ego which we have because we want to survive. And also, I think a goal, you know, you can, it's feasible. So, yeah.
Well, I also believe it's right. On one hand that, I don't know if you have to have goals in life. I think that is also a typical way of conventional thinking that, and also very close link to that linear thinking, but you have anywhere in the world where people who are now, or countries that are now merging countries and coming to more wealth, you cannot say no to them not to achieve that what we have achieved here in the Western world, because they are going through that what we have gone through, or Germany, for example, the Western world has gone through after the World War. Now this is happening there. That is always the conflict we are having. But in the merging world, the problem is that we have so many people right now, and how to allow them, allow, who am I to allow, but allow, that's the general discussion which is going on in the world, to say there are so many people, they are causing so much of dust and so much of garbage and so much of plastic, because of them we are suffering. And this is a little bit short-sighted, and telling them they are not allowed to go through the same evolutionary spiral which we have gone through is also not correct. The question at the end is to say, okay, goals might be important, but what kind of goals? Because behind the goals help you to fulfill your vision. Yeah. And now as an individual, unlike companies, you don't have to note down your vision, have a perfect slogan for that. But at least there is something that thrives you within. Right now with your son, it seems to be more materialistic. But it might change, hopefully, to see that, first of all, cars are obsolete in future. I just recently, or it was at the end of last year, attended a conference where one of a scientist who is developing the artificial intelligence for autonomous driving cars, for example, said that the last person who is going to have a license is already born. So license and having a car is going to be obsolete. Greetings to your son from my side. And on the other hand, I question at the end, the work itself, how we define it today. Because We all are fulfilling, or the content, what we are doing is just trying to finance needs that are created by the industry that keep us believe that we need all this, let me call it rubbish. And I think Corona had shown that economic collapses the moment we only buy things that we need. Isn't that absurd? You know, Corona has shown us that the economy has collapsed by not buying the things which are shown on TV in advertisement and telling us you buy this. The moment I just buy the things that I need, I don't drive my car. The cars of most of the people were 4 months, 5 months at home. And we all understood it's not needed. Yeah. My carbon footprint was a disaster because I was traveling to India frequently for workshops for One World No Hunger. What absurdness we are doing here. I very often ask for, let us do this many workshops and let us try to do many things online so we can also support them frequently. And even I had the idea of maybe going frequently to one of my companies that with whom I work. And they said, no, we just want to have people in our offices here. And suddenly everything works. So what do we need? We need a mind shift. And I think those people who still believe that our world can live on materialistic values have not understood where we are standing today.
But now I want to question this, because what you say is beautiful. You have looked beneath your carpet and have found out that you have many things that you don't need, that you have a lot of rubbish, you know, you have like we say in Germany, brooming in front of our own doorstep and going within and tidying up our life. And still, this was only one layer, you know? So we believe we tidy up. We believe we get rid of our rubbish. We believe that we now only consume our needs and not our desires anymore. But still, this is not true. It can be less. And the mess is still there. So for me, it is rather worse, the idea of that, you know, that we are sort of thinking that the moment we develop, we are those human beings who are developed and who are doing the best what a human being can do for the society, for themselves, for life. I don't know how I can say this. Corona comes, we find out that there are so many things we don't need, like flying to all the conferences, like what you and me did before. So we were reducing our carbon footprint. We are changing our lives. We eat in a more balanced way. We live in a more balanced way. We communicate in another way. And this is very, very beautiful. And still, there's more consuming going on. You know, still there are companies that earn a lot of money. Still there are people that go and get more stuff. And the mess, we have tidied up a little bit. And now we believe there is no mess anymore. But there's still mess, you know. There's still rubbish.
We should also not forget those. I think we are also in a position which is quite luxurious. And looking at the world, even I don't like the Corona crisis. It's an economical crisis. We are just trying to put a little bit makeup on it by calling it Corona crisis. Let us be very frank. And if you look at the periods that we had, it already started somewhere mid 2019, I think, where the economical crisis started. Now we have a reason to say we have to name it. It's a Corona crisis. Then we have a disease on which we can blame everything. Yeah, I think it's also very important to understand that. On the other hand, this economical crisis, which is caused also again by something which we cannot control. I think many people who are not in the position of thinking, how can I change my carbon footprint? There are many people who are suffering, especially when I look at India, those migrant workers who are there and from one day to another didn't have anything. They even didn't know how to feed themselves. Is the whole economical system we have to question? I think so. And I'm really emphasizing on have to question to say, is that what we are buying and how we have developed? And there are wonderful things which derived out of there. You know, we have less wars. Yeah, we have a very peaceful time. Yeah, on looking at from this angle. But on the other hand, Now, if we look at visions and goals and purpose, what kind of values do I need in order to include them? Yeah, to say, and there I'm again back to the topic dignity. What do I need to have a dignified life? It means that I should be able to get up, to at least not to worry about how to get food, how to get my water, how can I feed my family? And therefore, I very much in favor of this unconditioned basic income. And now I'm going again a little bit too far, because at the end, yesterday there was a posting of Deutsche Welle, which made me a little bit angry. I just read the headline, and I just wrote down that they have not understood the system of the unconditional basic income, because they named it money for nothing. Germany offers the unconditional income to, I think, some hundred of people, you know. So I still believe that it will not be successful unless the way of thinking of work is not going to change. If we have to work in order to survive, it will not change at all. We will keep in the system, and the understanding of unconditional basic income will not be understood. But if we have a different way of thinking on that, by saying, look, we are not here to just work and to be the small minions for maybe a handful of people to make them richer and richer. We are there to have a dignified life. Who tells you that someone who is a servant is less worth than I am? You know, and this is still what is happening. We have hierarchies, and looking at the world, we still live in these hierarchies. And if we have top there people saying you have to do this and you do that, I buy my car, so every day I stand in the traffic in order to go to work, which finances this car, which I have not paid up yet, you know. So it is totally absurd. And this way of thinking, that people just say the purpose of life, maybe there is no purpose itself when we are born, but the way we think and the change of our value system from age to age, or from, I don't know, whenever the changes come, maybe questions our deeds and why are we doing that, what we are doing. And does that as a company also contribute to the society, what we are doing? So I'm not saying wealth or earning money is something bad. On the contrary, I find it good. It's a system which we have, but not on the shoulders of so many people, of the planet, of the trees, of the nature, and of the animals. That's somehow absurd. And the next climate catastrophe is there. It's already happening.
Yes. And my son is just an example, but there we are again, you know, at a society where there are still many people who have the understanding that when they work and when they are stressed out and when they then earn the money, that they should be able to use that money to accumulate things, to buy status symbols, to show what they have done, what they have achieved, who they are. Because this is the way we have learned it up until now. And yes, there are these people who are thinking in a different way. But for my son, and maybe others in this stage of development, these people are losers, okay? So, well, maybe they have not been able to achieve anything, and now they find another way out of this, their own mess, you know? Sort of, we are the right ones because we have earned our money in a way human beings ought to earn their money, and the others don't. So, yeah, and I think this is the conflict which we need to take care about if we talk about a transformation or a paradigm shift or a changing society or a new realm, whatever we want to call it. Because we cannot drag people into there, we cannot push them, we cannot pull them. And still, for us, it feels perfectly okay to live in a world such as that. And when I work with my clients, I'm always saying the same things, but these Buddhist monks that only do their tasks after they have tidied up. They groom their room, they tidy up their insides, they go into meditation, and then they do their work. Why do they do it? Because they believe the moment we get up out of bed and we go up, get up with a mess. Then we are chasing every day after our mess. They also believe if they have not tidied up and they die today, they leave a mess to those behind them. And they also believe that when they do their tasks are just things that come, then they can do them with a really good focus and they have no noises from all the mess they would have if they haven't tidied up. So if we all, as global human beings, would sit and tidy up our lives, and some people say the COVID, the coronavirus was supposed to do that, to bring us back, to put us on reset. And this actually is for me, this is like my vision, which I always have when I'm talking to Gaia. My vision is that that there is this day where the whole world sits, goes back into nothingness, goes back into emptiness. Everybody goes into the void. This is what we call the void. In order to then, when we wake up again, let's call it wake up, do the same things we have done before. Every teacher can be teacher again. You know, every architect, every cleaning lady, every mother, whatever we are, we can be again. But what has changed after we have gone in this void, in this reset, there is a new notion. And the new notion, which then comes, is a notion of, let's call it loving kindness, equanimity, joy, compassion, love. And this loving kindness notion then lets us do our things in a different way, lets us take care of each other and not exploit ourselves and the world anymore. And still, it's the same world. So Darwinism goes away, mutualism comes. And then we are again at the deer who goes to the hunter. The resources are coming to us because they know we are not going to exploit them. And then my son would now again say, Mommy, this is Schlaraffenland, or this is utopia, or this is visioning beyond visioning, or boring. But maybe we can then create something else for this word boring. Maybe boring is very exciting then, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. And I totally agree. If you go within and try to find this void or experience this void, the quality of your doing is going to be totally different because your value system changes in that moment, because you have experienced something which you have never experienced before. But I'm also very much of the opinion that many things can be done individually, where I totally agree. But we live, unfortunately, in a framework which is set also by politics. And my wish is that politics and economics come together. Because if you say, we have that very conventional sentence saying everyone can find a job if he or she wants to. And I think this is a very total wrong sentence and a very wrong attitude. Why? Because the individualization of societal problems is in all areas a very dangerous displacement mechanism in the sense of denial. And that relieves politics because everyone could solve the problem by a voluntary self-commitment if everyone participates. But it is a very dangerous illusion if you think you can solve problems through individual behavioral change, which are actually of structural nature. So if we are set in a framework through a structure and we want to change, but the structure doesn't allow us, which is implemented in the system, it is very difficult to go that way. Now, let's go away from your son. We are talking about adults. We are talking about people who are still thinking today the same way, yeah, with these arguments. Now, if the framework is set differently by politics, I think people would also see that politics is changing something, and there seems to be a mechanism which works. But as long as this does not happen, as long we have people who stick to their positions, I always call it banana, and don't want to let go of the banana, and even knowing that that's going to ruin them and actually their surrounding. Because it's good to be there and because I can keep my power. Therefore, I'm pledging for people or leaders who are in politics and economics, who have starting a different way of thinking. And with that means I need to have a different value system. Nowadays, if you see, there are so many leadership programs. Why is this happening? Yeah, and it's not that it's a hopeless thing. I'm still a person who says it, there is a hope, because I have luckily a surrounding in my business environment, which I have created, especially through exchanging the thoughts with you and with many other people, where I see that there is happening something also in economics. But we need to have people in leading positions who are also initiating this kind of change. And this is also the crux or the issue we are facing right now, to find the right people to initiate this change.
Yes. So what's the banana in the next value system? Yes, this is right. We need feminine qualities, or we need a balance between masculine and feminine qualities. I think this can be something for another podcast. I'm not sure. I think we are through.
I think we can talk endless about goals and visions. And I think even in the next podcasts, we will merge that again, because everything is linked to each other. I think that what we are speaking about in the previous chapters and the coming chapters. So I thank you very much for this podcast today about goals and visions linked with purpose, and looking forward to the next podcast with you.
Me too.
See you. Bye.
Bye.